Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Hello, America, and happy Friday. Yep, 1 week and a couple of days till Christmas. If you haven't got your holiday Christmas shopping done, well, this is a good weekend to do it. And you can always check out the holiday shopping guide we have on the homepage at justthenews.com. All of our great partners, advertisers, sponsors, they have amazing deals just for you. So check those out. Discounts that you can't get anywhere else. Give an EnviroCleanse air cleaner the gift of health this holiday season, or get someone started on Field of Greens. Give a subscription to the Just the News to one of your friends and neighbors who need to keep up on the news. There are so many gifts for you to do. Go check it out today. All right, we've got a great show for you today. We are going to focus on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden today. Just 48 hours after the House approved a formal impeachment inquiry against Joe Biden, there's a lot of people in the mainstream media going, there's no evidence. This is an evidence-free impeachment inquiry. That's simply not true. And over the next few minutes, we're going to get a good conversation going as to why that's not true. And we're going to bring you some news that we broke overnight that I think is very important. I hinted at it yesterday. Today, it's sitting up there, a very detailed story showing that Congress has assembled a significant amount of evidence showing that Hunter Biden may have actually cut his deal and started doing work for the Chinese energy company, CEFC China Energy, back in 15 and 16. This is evidence that Congress has gathered, but that the payments were deferred until his dad left office in 17, because it would be unseemly for a vice president's family to be taking money from a Chinese company at that time. So we're going to get to that in a second. First, let me give you the lineup today. It is a really, really good lineup. I'm really excited. The head of the House impeachment inquiry, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, is going to join us at the top of the show. A very meaty interview. You're going to enjoy that. Then I'm going to turn to one of my favorite journalists. He and I collaborated together on a great book called Fallout, and it really focused on how the Clinton and Biden dynasties were built on corruption. Seamus Bruner's in the house, and we'll talk a little bit more about the China story and other things related to it. I think you're going to enjoy James Comer. He's picked up on this notion that Joe Biden's home is a crime scene because of what he allowed his son to do from there. That includes tax evasion, possibly money laundering. Certainly the banks thought that, and human trafficking. Certainly the banks thought that too. So James Comer, Seamus Bruner will give us all the latest on the Biden family scandal and the impeachment scandal. And then we'll finish up with a new guest, someone who I think is doing some great work around America. And you might not have heard of him, but he's an economist. He's an expert on supply chains. Jim Nels is with us, and he'll talk a little bit about what has happened to the resiliency of the American supply chain, how we are too dependent on countries like Russia for uranium and Russia and China for goods, and of course, the Middle East and Russia for oil. Jim Nels is going to bring us up to speed, and that's going to be a very, very important conversation. It's something we got to be thinking about more. We need to resupply the American supply chain. Now, I want to turn to that Hunter Biden scoop in a second, but first, a couple other headlines that are getting some attention around the country, and I want to make sure you're up to speed on them because they're important stories. There is an extraordinary dynamic that has been occurring, particularly since the COVID pandemic and afterwards, where millionaires, people who make more than $1 million a year, are getting jobless benefits. They're called jobless millionaires. Senator Joni Ernst, leading a bipartisan coalition of senators, saying that is ridiculous. We don't need taxpayers' dollars going to jobless benefits for people who are independently wealthy. That story is on the website from my good colleague Joe Weber. Go check that out. It's a really good story, and I think a lot of people are shocked by it. In Europe, We keep talking about the terror threat here in America. Well, it's similarly high in Europe. German and Dutch authorities have detained four people suspected of being Hamas members who were planning alleged terrorism attacks targeting Jews in Europe. That is a red flag. And again, concerns here are similarly high, and we need to keep an eye on that. There's a great story this morning in the court system. Elise Stefanik, the head of the Republican Conference, so in the House, one of the highest-ranking House Republicans, she filed a judicial misconduct complaint against Obama-era-appointed Judge Beryl Howell, alleging that this judge gave a partisan speech that amounted to illegal election meddling. It's rare for a judicial complaint to be filed by Congress against a sitting federal judge, but in this complaint, Elise Stefanik says that Judge Howell gave a speech insinuating that the election of Donald Trump in 2024, if that were to happen, would lead to fascism in America. That's an unusual statement for a sitting judge to make when they may very well inherit cases involving President Trump or former President Trump at a different time. So that's a very important dynamic we need to keep an eye on. Israel had some heartbreaking news today, a tragedy enhanced by tragedy. Israel's military says it mistakenly killed three Israeli hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza City when they mistook them for combatants. So sorry to hear that for the families of those loved ones. Our prayers are for all those who have gone through the horror of the terror attacks in Hamas. The entire region is suffering an unnecessary pain, and it's, well, like I said, it's terrorism. Terrorism has never brought anything but pain and heartache to this world. One other fun one in the Congress before we get to the Hunter Biden story. A group of GOP senators, Republican senators, is trying to cut U.S. funding to a United Nations agency that they say promotes anti-Semitism and employs Hamas-linked Palestinians. The legislation was introduced this week by Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee. He said if it was passed, it would end U.S. funding for the UN Relief and Works Agency, which works in the Gaza Strip, where Israel is fighting to destroy the terrorist group, Hamas. So that's a pretty big deal. Take a look at that story. A lot of different big ideas in Congress trying to fight back against some of the silliness that has taken root in our nation. All right, now to that very big story that we broke overnight that I think is very important. Congress has assembled a growing body of evidence, and it's quite a bit, that Hunter Biden's dealings with the Chinese energy company CEFC, China Energy. That's the company that landed millions of dollars for the Bidens in 2017. All those payments that started coming in, a $3 million thank you payment, a $5 million loan, a $1 million legal retainer fee. Well, that the actual work and the deal may have been struck as early as 2015 and may have included a meeting with Joe Biden while he was still vice president. That's right. The new evidence that we've turned up and that Congress has turned up includes an interview and statements made by a longtime Biden family friend, Rob Walker, who was involved in the deal with CFC China. He said that he believed Joe Biden met with CFC officials while he was still vice president, while his son was trying to negotiate the deal. There's also contemporaneous emails from Hunter Biden showing that his dealings with CFC started in 2015. And then two IRS whistleblowers, Jerry Shapley, Joe Ziegler, both on the show, said that they had evidence also, including statements from a second business partner, Tony Bobulinski, that validated the idea that the money in 2017 was actually deferred money that had been earned by the Biden family in 2015, but it couldn't be paid to the Bidens because the Bidens didn't want the appearance of taking Chinese communist money while Dad, Joe Biden, was in the Oval Office. Now, you're going to hear James Comer talk about this in the interview in a few seconds. And he's going to make a very important point, which is the Bidens knew that while they were doing this deal in 2015-16 with CFC, they couldn't be seen as taking money when the vice presidency was still in Joe Biden's hands. It would be unseemly. So there's a very good chance that they just simply delayed it and to deceive the American people. That is a pretty big story. There's a lot of detail in here, all sorts of documents. I think if you go to the dig-in section of the story, there's well over two dozen documents and citations in here. This is how carefully researched this whole story was, but it's a good read. It's important. It could become a central part of the impeachment inquiry coming ahead, and you're going to hear that in a second from our first guest, James Comer, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, and the man leading the House impeachment inquiry. All right, before we take a quick commercial break, I want to shout out my good friends at Brick House Nutrition. They, of course, make that great supplement called Field of Greens. It gets you all the fruits and veggies you need in a single dose. A little spoonful, you put it in a shake or put it in a drink, sprinkle it on some food, and voila, you've got the healthy 5 servings of fruits and vegetables we're all supposed to eat, but none of us ever does, right? We're too busy. And of course, if we do, and this is something I've learned, my blood pressure has been lower, my cholesterol is way lower, I'm healthier, I have more energy, I'm losing weight. And I attribute all that to the great work and great products of Brickhouse Nutrition called Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Now, I've experienced this firsthand. That's why I've lost weight, why I feel better, why my cholesterol is down, why my fat is down, why my liver is having better readings and my blood pressure is lower. I attribute a lot of that to Field of Greens. And right now, we want you to be able to save. So exclusively for John Solomon Reports and Just the News fans, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% discount off your first order when you go to fieldofgreens.com. Use the promo code JustNews. So go to fieldofgreens.com. Use the promo code JustNews. This is the easiest health system you'll ever have. You just take a spoonful of the powder, you put it in a drink, put it on a shake. I tend to make shakes. That's my favorite thing to do. And voila, you've got the healthiest servings of fruit and vegetables you could possibly have. You meet all of the dietary requirements and you start losing weight, dropping cholesterol, blood pressure, and sugar. It's just an amazing thing. So one more time, use the promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Let them know I sent you. And thank Field of Greens for supporting Just the News right from the beginning. We're really grateful to have this long partnership with them. All right, folks, we'll be back in a second with the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer. More on that exclusive China story we broke this morning right after these messages. Hey, folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully, you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews for your discount. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JustNews. Go check it out. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Joining us now is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, who yesterday successfully convinced all of his Republican colleagues to sign on to a formal impeachment inquiry. Joining us right now, Congressman James Comer from the great state of Kentucky. Mr. Chairman, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we dive in a little bit to this China stuff, I want to just get your top line reaction. A pretty remarkable moment. Unanimous vote by House Republicans. And then after all of his talk, it turns out Hunter Biden really didn't want to sit down with you, did he?
No, Hunter didn't. I think the American people got a snapshot of the arrogance and entitlement of Hunter Biden when he arrives at the Capitol at the exact same time he's supposed to be deposed. And he just basically gives the U.S. Congress a middle finger and says that he's a Biden. The rules don't apply to him. He would love to answer their questions. And then he gets in his car and drives off without answering any questions. This won't stand just because Hunter Biden's been treated differently and been treated special by the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS, and about every other government agency that should have already apprehended Hunter Biden. That doesn't mean he's going to be treated that way by the House Oversight Committee. We've been firm. We will hold him in contempt of Congress. This will not stand, and we expect to see Hunter Biden in here for a deposition. With respect to the vote, John, I mean, what a vote. Look, it's been a long time since the House Republicans have been unanimous on anything. And I'm proud of my colleagues. The media tried to harass the moderate members by going up to them saying, do you think you can explain this at home? You know, they were trying to do everything they could to deter the moderate. But the moderates know the American people want answers. The American people want to know what the Bidens did to receive the tens of billions of dollars they received from our enemies around the world. And that's what this investigation is all about. It's about providing the American people with the truth.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Well, and I think that, that vote is evidence of the work that you've put in and presented to your caucus. So bravo to you. You know, I made a joke about the layaway thing, but the evidence does seem to show the way that John laid it out, that the work was done while Joe Biden was in office, and then it was paid out after. Now, if Joe Biden's power and influence and, as they call it, the brand, didn't mean anything, then why did they have to defer the payment?
That's right. I mean, they knew you weren't supposed to be negotiating with the Chinese while you're sitting in the vice presidency. I mean, that's a given. Even the Bidens, even as arrogant and entitled as they are, they knew they were doing a big no-no negotiating with the Chinese, but that's what it appears they were doing. So, you know, they tried to always make sure that Joe had plausible deniability. That's a term that continues to come up, especially when Joe Biden's brother Jim's talking. Plausible deniability, meaning that you really can't prove Joe knew anything about it. And that's their whole case here with our investigation. Yeah, okay, the Biden family are a bunch of crooks, but Joe didn't know anything about it. Well, of course he did. Joe Biden was the brand. And this money didn't just mysteriously start appearing right after Joe Biden left office. There were deals that were made while Joe Biden was vice president. We know this from talking to some of the former associates. And now with John's good work and Amanda, your good work, we're seeing hard evidence that this, in fact, did happen while he was vice president.
So I want to ask you about two pieces of evidence that you've helped bring forward. One is a March 2016 email that Hunter Biden writes where he kind of signs off on, yeah, that's okay, that deal's fine with CFC. There's an attachment that isn't available on the laptop. I want to ask if you're going to get that. And then also the testimony from Rob Walker to the FBI is that Joe Biden may have had a meeting with CFC before Joe Biden left the vice presidency. Are those two pieces of evidence you're going to track down?
Absolutely, John. You're always one step ahead of everybody else. Thank God for the great investigative work that you and Amanda have provided this investigation. But we are going to subpoena documents from associates. We have already subpoenaed and expect to be deposing the associates very soon. But we also want to see what type of documentation exists from prior FBI interviews. So all of that are things that we're going to use our newfound power with impeachment inquiry in trying to obtain, and we're going to try to obtain it very rapidly.
Yeah, important stuff. Great.
Sir, I wanted to go back to something you said a moment ago, because it is a pretty big stinking problem with the plausible deniability and being able to tie it to Joe Biden in such a way that Joe Biden knew what was happening at the time that it was happening. But you've got text messages, you've got emails alluding to 10% for the big guy, you've got these mob sounding audio messages from Hunter saying, "I've got my father next to me, we hold grudges," blah, 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 blah. FD-1023s. But again, all of those, that there is still that plausible deniability element. How do you actually prove, what nature of evidence do you need to prove that Joe Biden was a part of it and he knew that he was a part of it exactly when it was happening?
Well, certainly, I think that these depositions are going to be crucial. We're going to bring in all the associates and we're going to ask them specific questions. Obviously, we have emails now. We have the notes from the IRS whistleblowers. We also have bank statements. And I believe that we're able to connect a lot of the dots. We want to get some of these people under oath and ask them again, what role did Joe Biden play? Was Joe Biden present at this meeting? And we'd love to have asked Hunter Biden when he made his cameo appearance yesterday, was your father sitting beside you when you sent that WhatsApp message to the Chinese trying to shake them down for that $5 million wire? I mean, that's a basic question that everyone in America should want to know. Unfortunately, the mainstream media isn't very curious about that. But fortunately, we are. Fortunately, there are some conservative outlets like you guys that are. We're going to do everything in our power to try to connect the dots, because I don't think any rational American believes that any of this money just mysteriously started popping in bank accounts a few months after Joe Biden left office to his son and brother, who are, not your average employees. They would be below average employees and add absolutely no value to anyone's portfolio.
Yeah. Sir, you've brought a lot of evidence out in the last couple of weeks, and I want to ask about this. You have this bank record that says, hey, money laundering and human trafficking was going through Joe Biden's house because Hunter Biden used it as a business address for a lot of these transactions. It looks like the Chinese were running an influence operation. That's what the bank examiner says at one point. And then you also have the indictment that shows tax crimes were occurring while Hunter Biden was staying at Joe Biden's home. What does that make Joe Biden's home? Joe Biden's home is a scene of a lot of things going on. Is it a crime scene?
It is a crime scene. I've said that. Joe Biden's house is a crime scene. I mean, the evidence points to that. Look, if Joe Biden didn't know what was going on in his own house, does he need to be president of the United States? Does he need to have access to the nuclear code? I mean, why weren't the Treasury cabinet officials notifying, I'm sorry, sir, Mr. President, your family has received a record amount of bank violations, meaning that six different banks think your family is committing crimes. Why didn't the Department of Justice say that? Why didn't the Secret Service say that? Why didn't the IRS say that? I'm sorry, Mr. President, but you have issues with your family here. They haven't paid their taxes in 3 years, and they owe over $2 million in taxes. I mean, these are serious questions that Joe Biden should have to answer.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it.
And what policy it influenced. I mean, we already suspect that it affected one decision as far as Victor Shokin. Sir, I think it's Thomas Massie who has a debt clock ticker lapel pin that he wears around Congress. And I wonder, because I think it's been a couple times that we've had you on since we've been able to ask you what the total is up to. What is the total? And maybe you should have a lapel pin that just keeps racking up the total in digital form on your chest.
Yeah, we're over $33 trillion in counting, and we're going to have a $2 trillion deficit this year. I mean, that's unacceptable. It's on a path that's not sustainable, and we have to make cuts here. And that's what a lot of the problems we've had as a Republican conference. I know people get frustrated. Oh, Republicans are fighting all that. We're fighting over making budget cuts. And, you know, you've just got to have members of Congress who are disciplined and focused on reducing waste, fraud, abuse, and mismanagement of the federal government. That's what the role of the Oversight Committee is. And hopefully, this Republican conference next year will do a little bit better job of trying to make significant, meaningful, substantive budget cuts.
Yeah,
I think I asked that properly. I meant, what's the total for the Bidens up to? And that's what you should have on your table.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. I thought you meant the whole debt. No, the Bidens, I mean, they owe at least, you know, what, is it a loan or not? That's a question. That's one of the questions that the president's son and the president's brother are going to obviously have to answer. There's $14 or $15 million here.
Yep.
Is this a loan? Is this a gift? If it's a loan, when are you going to pay it back?
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Seamus Bruner, right around the corner, my great journalistic friend, co-author, and of course, the research chief at the Government Accountability Institute, right after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, America. A lot of Americans are finally waking up to the reality of the Biden family business dealings, which was it was an influence peddling scheme, and they made millions off of adversaries across the world, places like Ukraine and China and Romania and Russia. But our next guest, if you've been following him for the last 5 years, you would not be surprised at all. His extraordinary work as director of research at the Government Accountability Institute, I was lucky to be a co-author with him on a book where we talked about it. And of course, he now has a brand new book out called Control the Guard, exposing the billionaire class. Our good friend Seamus Bruner is here. Wouldn't be a complete year if we didn't get Seamus on one more time. Seamus, welcome back to the show.
John, it's great to be with you. Likewise to Amanda.
It's good to have you. We love your work. We love your book. I was bragging about it at a party over the weekend. I want to start with something that James Comer said a little bit ago. He's on the show just a little while ago, and he said, hey, given what we've learned, the money laundering, the tax evasion, the possible human trafficking that was flagged, and of course, all the influence peddling that was occurred when Hunter Biden was staying at his dad's home in Wilmington, Delaware, President Joe Biden's home is a crime scene, according to James Comer. I'd like to get your reaction to that.
Yeah, Congressman Comer's absolutely right. I mean, pretty much anywhere there's a Biden, there's a crime going on. I mean, even the White House, they turned into a crime scene with the the bag of drugs that nobody had apparently, and we don't know whose that was. So, but yeah, I mean, Wilmington, Delaware is ground zero for the Biden influence peddling operation. And Hunter living at the house makes that so.
Yeah, man, it's just amazing.
Yeah. And Seamus, the rhetoric coming out of the White House, I mean, as recently as 7 months ago, I think it was May of this year, Joe Biden said, my son has done nothing wrong. And then today, Karine Jean-Pierre said that Joe Biden, in fact, knew what his son Hunter was going to be saying yesterday on the steps of the Capitol when he didn't show up for that oversight hearing. And I guess I'm just wondering at this point when Joe Biden is going to acknowledge the fact that, in fact, he did know that his son was doing wrong, because one of the things that Hunter mentioned yesterday, I mean, he ignored the major allegations, but he mentioned the fact that he was irresponsible with his finances, which for those of us who have actually picked through his finances, irresponsible is the nicest way that you can word it.
Certainly. And I mean, if the past is any indication of future behavior, Team Biden, the mainstream media, they're never going to acknowledge that Hunter did something wrong, because they've been complicit in a lot of it. And so, by the end of this, we'll be hearing about how taking money or even potential bribes from the highest levels of the Chinese Communist Party is actually a good thing. That's kind of where they ultimately end up, is first it's not happening at all, and then once they get caught, it's like, well, it actually, maybe it is happening, and that's the five reasons why it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. I can't wait for that press conference. I will volunteer to go to the White House for that press conference. That'll be fun. But you're right. Listen, they're a victim now, too. This is another thing that we're seeing, this victimology. Hunter Biden said, Republicans are trying to kill me, get me addicted back on drugs. No, they're out there just trying to get to the truth that we were denied in 2019 and 2020. But the victim card's out there. You did some great work. In fact, I was blessed to come along for some of the ride on the CEFC transactions, the China transactions that started in Peter Schweitzer's great book that you helped research, and you did some great work for Just the News. It's becoming more clear now, the theory that we had is likely true, that Tony Bobulinski has said it. Rob Walker told the FBI, this is something new that came out in the last couple of days, that he thinks Joe Biden met with CFC while he was still in office as vice president. That's a big revelation. If Joe Biden was in on the CFC deal, and if the money was just deferred until after, how much does that inject a new angle into the impeachment inquiry?
Yeah, it's huge, John, because, you know, we'd seen some emails indicating that mutual contacts with CEFC were talking to the Bidens in late 2016, right before Joe leaves office. But what Congressman Comer just revealed is huge if it goes back. And it's kind of easy to get all these entities mixed up in which, you know, who did what in CEFC, and is that related to the Bank of China deal? No. CEFC was an arm, an extension of the Chinese Communist Party. Patrick Ho, who was the chairman of its nonprofit arm, right, was convicted of bribery. He had bribed various UN and African leaders trying to get deals for China. And so long before he even got acquainted with Hunter Biden and all of the CEFC dealings, that was what the CEFC operation was all about, was bribing foreign leaders. Patrick Ho's first call from prison, you know, he went to prison, was to Hunter Biden, or was actually to James Biden, looking for Hunter Biden.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's right. I forgot that. Yeah.
Seamus, well, and John, I guess I would ask you this as well. Over all of your research that you've done surrounding Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and all of the Biden family members, Eric Schwerin, Devin Archer, all of their associates, if there was one person who you could imbue to come up to Capitol Hill and just completely spill all of the beans, maybe it's not even someone whose last name is Biden, who would that person be who could really tie together all of it and pinpoint every single alleged crime along the way?
Well, we got Devin Archer. He was pretty good. He was very intimate with all of the dealings from Burisma to China. You know, I don't think Devin spilled everything. He gave some good information, but he definitely didn't tell everything he knows. Eric Schwerin was sort of the money man, and he was very close to Joe, perhaps closer than Devin Archer was. So Eric Schwerin would be another. And then other than that, it's the Bidens themselves, Hunter, James, Sarah Biden even made some money off of these dealings. And then Joe knew what was going on. I mean, that's the thing, is he said for so long that he had no idea. And then this press conference with Hunter, where Hunter says that he was not involved financially. I mean, that's a huge moving of the goalpost. It was previously he was not involved at all. Now it's not involved financially. What does that even mean? And then I'm glad you mentioned just a moment ago, Amanda, that Corinne Jean-Pierre seemed to acknowledge that Joe Biden might have conferred or, you know, spoken with Hunter about this press conference. I'm not a lawyer, but Jonathan Turley says this might be grounds for another impeachment charge for obstruction. You can't be, you know, talking to someone about obstructing justice here. So I think that's going to be interesting, is what did Joe and Hunter talk about before this conference where Hunter decides to go in contempt of Congress?
Yeah, that is such a great point. Seamus, before we let you go, I would be remiss not to get a little bit more on your book. Control Oligarchs is such an important issue because I think people are waking up and saying, wait a second, how did my kids learn this? Why can't I access my water? How come I'm being censored on living in all parts of our life? All the liberty that made America so unique feels like it's being afraid, and there are billionaires that are kind of funding this attack. Tell us a little bit about what Control Oligarchs teaches all of us in America, about what's happened the last decade or so.
Well, just look at Joe Biden. I mean, it's pretty obvious he's not in control of a lot of things going on. He's not writing the policies. He's not writing the executive's orders. It's sort of a class above him, these people who like to hide out in the shadows, corporations like BlackRock, features prominently in the book. And the thing to remember about the control oligarchs is their number one goal is to transfer power and control away from nations, away from individuals, people like you and me, and toward international institutions with unelected bureaucrats that we don't control, that they control. So we don't have control over them. They have control over us.
All right, folks, one more good one to go. This is a good conversation. We don't have enough talk about it, but it's tied into China and Hunter Biden. The failure of the United States to make its supply chain independent of enemies or frenemies like China. Jim Nels is up next. A very important conversation we all need to have going into this weekend. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. The polls are showing a very clear message from the American people. The Bidenomics is not working. In fact, Democrats have stopped using President Biden's favorite term for his economic policy, ditched it altogether because people are unsatisfied. One of the big things that Americans have learned the hard way the last couple of years is that America has a supply chain problem. We're too reliant on foreign countries, particularly those who may be enemies or frenemies of ours, for very important supplies. Our next guest has been writing and warning of this for a long time. Jim Nels is an economist and one of the country's great experts on the supply chain. He joins us right now to talk about the downfalls and what's on the horizon economically right now. Jim, great to have you on the show.
Hi, John. Amanda, it's great to be with you this evening.
We have so many signs that Bidenomics isn't working right now, from inflation and rising interest rates, which is causing the national debt to go up with just debt service. But I think most Americans are most shocked when they learn, well, we rely on Russia for our uranium, rely on China for so many of the ingredients for pharmaceuticals and medical supplies and other things. This seems to be an awakening moment for the American people that we've got to fix our supply chain. Am I right about that?
You're right about that. And it goes back to pre-COVID. A lot of people blame COVID for supply chain issues that we had, and it wasn't COVID. COVID exposed the issues and the weaknesses of the U.S. supply chain. Our ports are a shambles. We're more concerned with woke roads and bridges than we are with fixing our nation's infrastructure. California has gone completely insane with their green laws and regulations for the trucking industry there. And our ports just aren't automated, so we have no way to unload the ships. It takes us twice as long to unload the same container ship as it takes them in a place like Saudi Arabia or even a place like Congo. They can do it much faster than we can. We're starting to see a lot more bottlenecks there. When you add that up to the inflation that we're seeing, when you add that up to the fact that half the country believes that we're in a recession, and to your point, the fact that we continue to import things from our frenemies, be it the uranium from Russia or be it the materials we need for medicines and medical supplies from China or the materials that we need for this Green New Deal push on the Biden administration, those all come from people that really don't want to see us succeed.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, and if we have more increasing supply chain issues, then people think inflation is bad now. My goodness, it's going to explode. I wanted to ask to that end about an article that you published a few months ago about, you know, increases in cost of living, gas. Obviously, we are coming up on Christmas and people are going to be spending money to try to feed their families and have big Thanksgiving meals. Bidenomics, the message I've heard, we've heard from insiders that they are trying to pivot away from that and try to find a better message to be sold to the American people about the economy next year. Where do you expect them to pivot, or maybe they won't at all?
I don't think they're going to be able to pivot, but I think they're just going to hope that it goes away. And the problem that we have now is that most of the talking heads on TV, when they're talking about financial situations, they're all excited that the consumer price index was at 3.1% in November. And everyone wanted to have a party and celebrate that. What they don't understand is that that's a 3.1% increase over November of 2022, where inflation was at 7.1%. So if you compare us to where we were in 2021, that's a 10% increase. And that's what's hurting working Americans the most. If you look at the last 12 months, on average, food is up 10%, energy is up 13%, transportation 14%, and shelter is up 7%. Those are the basket of needs that the American people must have in order to eat and live and go to work. And this is what's killing them. Now we're seeing things like credit card debt go over $1.1 trillion. We're seeing the American consumer use more and more things like buy now, pay later schemes. We're starting to see high default rates on credit cards, as well as a high rejection rate of people applying for credit cards. And what that means, though, with that credit card debt is that people aren't going out and buying flat screen TVs and trips to Paris. They're buying food and they're paying their utility bills and they're paying their rent with their credit card and then racking up 25, 28, 30% interest in order to do so. It's going to get to the point now where we're going to see a really big bubble with consumer debt. And when you add that on to the $33 trillion of debt that we have and the $1 trillion a year that we have to spend to service the debt, it's a financial catastrophe that's just waiting to happen. And there's no way for them to explain themselves out of this.
Yeah, you're right. You can't spend your way out of it either. It's one of the dangers that the last couple of years have shown us. Jim, I want to ask about the R word, because everywhere I go in the last few months, people ask me this, which is, are we on the precipice of a recession? Is there a possibility of us slipping into negative growth because of all of those factors that you just so eloquently described? It seems like we're in a very precarious position. What's your projection for the economy in 2024?
As I look towards 2024, I think we're going to continue to see a couple of things happen. And it depends on what happens with the war in Israel. And if the Houthis keep shooting drones and cruise missiles at shipping in the Red Sea. But if you set that aside, are we going to get into a technical recession, which is two consecutive quarters of negative growth? I don't know. If I could predict that, John and Amanda, I'd be sitting on a beach somewhere right now drinking a pina colada. But if you look at the sentiment of the American consumer right now, 59% of adults feel that we're in a recession today. Half of the Americans say that the financial situation is worse now than it was when Biden took office. And 66% of Americans say that they've had to make changes to their lifestyle in order to pay for the necessities in their lives. So that may not be a technical recession, but to the American consumer, especially the middle and lower class American consumers, the people that the Democrats are allegedly there to champion, they're in a recession and they feel it every single month when they go to pay their bills and see what's left over at the end of that time.
Great point.
Yeah. And Jim, I want to hop back to something you said, because, you know, so often we talk about how the border security is national security, energy is national security, the economy is national security. And now we are seeing the epitome of foreign policy affecting our country and our economy. And I wanted to dip into what you were saying about the Houthis, because this conflict, as a result of feckless leadership on the foreign policy front, is now affecting our economy and supply chain.
It is, and it has the potential to be disaster. If you remember back a couple of years ago, where we had a cargo ship crash in the Suez Canal and blocked the canal for 6 days, that cost the world economy about $60 billion just over a course of 6 days. So if something happens there, we're really in a lot of trouble. About 8 million barrels of oil a day pass through the Gulf of Aden. So there's a lot of stuff there that needs to be taken care of. We can't continue to let these Houthi guys just continue to lob cruise missiles at people. We're going to need to take some action. We're going to need to do something that's a page out of the playbook of either President Reagan, when he sank half the Iranian Navy and destroyed two of their oil platforms, or a page out of President Trump's book, where he dropped the mother of all bombs in Syria during a state visit from President Xi of China. We need to do something to send a message to these people that they have to stop and it won't be tolerated. So far, the things that we've done are just little pinpricks, or it's just like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's not going to change a gosh darn thing, and we need some bold action. I don't want to go to war with Iran. That is the last thing in the world I want to have happen, but they need to be told to knock this off.
That's a great point. Sir, we got about a minute left. I want to ask, you have a lot of experience with China, and I think a lot of people look at the Chinese economy right now and wonder, what does it pose for the global economy? Can you give us a quick assessment of how the Chinese economy could have a profound impact on the global economy next year?
So I've spent a month in China over the last 12 weeks, and the economy there is pretty much like ours is here, except not as in good shape. The GDP in China is about 5% in Q3 of this year, but that's reported by the CCP, so you don't know if that's true. But if you look at the real estate sector, that's a disaster. Right. There's a lot of unemployment there that's bad. Local government debt is terrible at that point. And from the plants that I was visiting over the last 4 weeks, we're seeing them running at 50 to 60% of their capacity. So they're really not in a good position there. The prices are falling, and Moody's even downgraded the Chinese government credit limit. So we'll have to see where it goes. But right now, it's not good on either side of the Pacific.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Chairman Comer, to Seamus Bruner, and to Jim Nels for a really great conversation today. And remember, you can get that incredible 15% discount on Field of Greens. Live a healthier life. Get your 5 recommended daily allowances of fruit and vegetable with a single scoop of powder. I've been losing weight from it. I've been dropping my cholesterol numbers, my sugar numbers, my blood pressure. You can too. Just go to fieldofgreens.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. All right, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you and have a great Friday evening. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion-dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.